This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. God, we are exhausted this morning, the both of us. It's just going to be a rough one, and we should just tell everyone we were at the Met Gala last night. I mean, fine folks at Flag and Anthem supply the clothes, and we dress up. That's
good
just
morning,
how it
Mully.
Works.
Oh, happy Tuesday.
How are you holding up?
It's going to be a long Tuesday.
Wow. We were really showing it off yesterday.
Red carpet. That was rough. That was rough. But if we were ever to go to the Met Gala, if for real, then we would be well-dressed because we would have Flag and Anthem taking care of us, and we would be striking a pose. However one would strike a pose.
I love the idea that we went to New York, got on the red carpet, and then got back here for the
show.
It's
conceivable.
Sure.
It's conceivable.
We just drove through the night.
No, wouldn't be driving. Oh. We could have a private jet.
Oh, well, hold on a second.
The Odyssey jet.
The Odyssey jet picked us up in New
York. Yeah, I'm sure. Good cause like that. We could miss work. Heck.
This is one of my favorite shirts from Flag and Anthem.
It's very comfortable, isn't it?
Oh, my God. It's one of those.
Mine's very similarly blue, but not the same design, but it's just as comfortable.
Oh, these are so comfortable.
Why wouldn't we go to the Met Gala? We could skip work for that.
You know, I mean, we...
Angel Reese did.
Yeah. She skipped work for that, too.
All right. Also, Breonna Stewart did, too.
Okay.
Just saying.
Who else?
Sabrina Escu or something like that. I think she skipped, too, for the... she was at the Met Gala. I saw a couple of WNBA players.
I did not know that Angel Reese was on the board. Did you see that? She's, like, on the board of the Met Gala.
I did not realize that.
I didn't either. Maybe I made it up. Maybe I misread it. I get confused. I'll admit it.
Brandon from the
top row.
Yeah, just defending.
Don't be making fun of Angel for going to the Met Gala.
Yes.
You know what it is?
I saw your question. I saw a question before.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I think it is an interesting dynamic because she did skip practice. And if it were Caleb Williams doing the same thing in August for a fashion event, we would be grilling him mercilessly.
Yeah, but he's more,
endlessly.
He's a more accurate shooter.
Wow. That's a shot.
It's not. All love. Met Gala fires me up.
Let's get her some more WNBA MVP votes.
The Cubs, man. The Cubs are just this entity. The Cubs, unbelievable again last night. That is the seventh straight home series where they have won the opening game.
It's not unbelievable. Fantastic. It's expected.
Well, it is expected.
This is the way the best offense in baseball should behave when you're playing against a pitcher who pretty good, but you should take care of that guy. And well, they did. Rupert.
He was taken care of.
He was taken care of.
I got to tell you, like, it was almost you're watching a team in San Francisco that it was like they got rattled.
It's a good team,
though. Oh, my God, there's Pete Crow Armstrong.
It's a good team.
But the Cubs are running the bases, and they're kicking the ball all over the infield. That was crazy.
Well, it was an uncharacteristically sloppy night for the Giants.
Wow, was it a sloppy night.
Yeah, it was really sloppy. When Matt Chapman, the PCA play, the little squibber, he didn't handle that. And it had a little bit of English on it, if you will. But that's a play he typically makes.
Right.
And Adamas usually makes a play that he didn't make at shortstop. It was very uncharacteristic jitter, not jitters, but they're usually more sure-handed than that.
Yeah.
and they weren't. But the Cubs, with their speed and with their power, they put pressure on defense.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Yep. It was a hell of a win last night, and another really good performance from Matthew Boyd.
That's becoming
the
norm.
All the way around. It was an
that was a professional victory. The offense delivered.
Yep. No doubt.
The starting pitching was good enough, and the bullpen protected. That's a very good victory for the Cubs, and that's what we should expect and get used to. So I don't think we should be surprised. The Cubs 22-14, and it's a very good baseball team. They have some issues. They're dealing with it, and they're in first place.
Dansby Swanson was hitting the ball last night and running and scoring. They had a lot of contributions where you're kind of like, wow, this team is really loaded. They are a good baseball team, and you felt good about the news as Dustin keeps repeating the mild part of the hamstring strain.
Yeah, okay. There are two things you said there. Number one, you feel very good about Dansby Swanson batting eighth. The length of that lineup is a strength of it.
Yep.
And offensively, when he is on this seven-game hitting streak and he's on a tear, that's what he should be doing on a more regular basis. And if he can do that batting eighth, this is going to be a fun season, and it already has been. Now, the news about Shota Imanaga that people seem to be celebrating is good. I guess what if we were expecting a torn hamstring, I guess it's good in relation to that. But a mild hamstring injury and at least 2 weeks off, I suppose it's good news. It's encouraging, but we don't know how he's going to recover from this.
The skipper called it good news.
He said it was they were optimistic.
The skipper said that it was like, what did the skipper say, Dustin? You played the cut. He said it was good news.
That's good news, right?
Yes.
They're going to operate
that's
under caution.
That's not me.
Don't say
that's
operate.
Not Dustin. That's the skipper.
Don't say operate.
The MRI showed he's got a hamstring strain. He's presenting to the doctor like with a very mild hamstring strain. That makes us optimistic. I think it's probable we're going to be past 2 weeks here because we're going to be cautious and make sure that he's back to 100%. But all in all, pretty good news.
Pretty good news.
Pretty good news.
I just feel like, I don't want to get Tuesday off on a bad note, but I feel like you're like unhappy that it's just mild.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay, but
David, why are you so angry that
it's
mild?
Why would I be upset that it's mild?
You're like, have you ever had a hamstring injury? It's mild. Because yesterday, you wanted to be right with your diagnosis from the booth or something.
Look at him.
See, now you're going. Now you're going a little far.
All right.
You're going a little far.
But this is good news. This is like hitting an exacta. Like, we all knew that it wasn't what it was in Pittsburgh. It wasn't cramping. But there was a fear that it could be surgical. There was.
No, I never.
I didn't say you did.
Yeah,
David Haw said.
Well,
you
said I wanted to be right yesterday. And yesterday I thought that it was going to be something that would keep him out for up to a month.
I guess I want to celebrate.
Still
I was
could.
So happy. They beat another very good team soundly last night.
Yeah.
We saw great defense from a third baseman last night.
Yeah.
And the news on Shota's pretty good, all things
pretty
considered.
Pretty good news.
He could still be out a month.
Let me tell you something. There are two subjects we can't talk about, and we try to dance around it, but no commenting at all on Angel Reese or the Met Gala, and you stay away from Shota.
I guess.
That's what we've learned in the first 10 minutes of our show this morning.
I don't think that I've – I think that's an unfair thing. I don't think that I've made arguments based on my need to be right. So that's first. But I think
all right,
that
I apologize.
When Shota, as far as Shota is concerned, I do think that it is encouraging because it's not more severe than maybe people feared. But I also think that it remains true when you have somebody who's never had a hamstring injury before, the recovery time can be tricky. It can be hard to project. So I think what we tend to do in sports towns like this, like ours, great passionate sports fans, but we hear pretty encouraging, we hear optimistic, and all of a sudden in our heads we pencil in, okay, it's May 6th, May 20th, he'll be back. That's unrealistic.
No, what the guy said, if you listen to what Craig Counsell is saying, he's saying he's going to miss three starts. minimum, right? Because he's saying,
I think the Cubs were afraid that it was going to be worse.
Oh, I think
and
that's
the reaction
what, yes.
to the being optimistic was a reflection of that.
A sigh of relief.
Yes. And I think everybody should be somewhat relieved because yes. it doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's going to linger till the All-Star break.
He's coming back. Exactly.
He's coming back.
Yes.
And they're going to deal with his absence as they deal with his absence. They have not concluded yet what they're going to do. But I think everyone can feel somewhat relieved
yes.
that this wasn't something that was going to be 6 to 8 weeks.
Yes.
2 months,
that's
which
exactly
was feared.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a big difference in terms of how much time he misses.
It could easily be a month. Because here's the thing. You could miss 3 starts, and then you might, who knows? You might want to, well, maybe he should throw on the side, maybe. Who knows?
If it were Justin Steele, hypothetically, and he was somebody who had this injury before and he came back from, I think you'd be easier to project. We have somebody in Shota Imanaga who just hasn't had this injury history, so he hasn't had the injury rehab. He also could be a fast healer.
Yeah, we don't know.
Conceivably. So we just, these things are tricky. Everybody's body will be wired differently, and his, I just determined this last night. Until he's back, they can stop showing that commercial because
wow,
it makes you want to laugh, and then you remember he's gone.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, he is of vital importance. So I like the idea that they're going to be careful with it. And I also like the idea. What the news was yesterday, he has an injury. Yeah, he's got to deal with a hamstring, but he's coming back. And he's coming back sooner rather than later. And you're right. It could easily be a month. But he's still coming back, and that's really what counts.
Now, what they do in the interim is interesting. We can continue to discuss. Yeah. They have not concluded yet that Cade Horton won't be the answer. I think they have bought themselves some time by bringing up Hollowell, and it's smart. He pitched last night. It wasn't a high-leverage situation, and you can get a young bullpen arm some quality appearances.
Listen, we talked about it yesterday. The guy pitched yesterday, talking about Cade Horton. So you're not bringing him up. What would the point be?
He pitched Saturday.
Well, but what's the point of bringing him up if the start is on Friday?
You don't have to bring him up.
That we're talking about.
That's what I mean.
Saturday, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to bring him up at all. You get a bullpen arm, and you get a guy that has options in Hollowell, and then you can make a decision later in the week as to how you're going to fill that role of Shohei.
Once again, though, I think when you have Jed Hoyer facing every question, he knew what the topic was going to be. He doesn't shy away from it, and he was very candid about.
Did he kind of shoot it down, though? He kind of shot down the idea of bringing up Horton more than I thought he would. Let's listen.
The hesitancy is a no, I would say, just trying to make sure it's the right time. I think that it's easier to work on things in the minors, and he didn't pitch a lot last year. I think had he pitched all last season, may well have debuted by now, but if he hadn't debuted, I think that we would, you'd have a better sense of where he is. Whereas, because he missed a lot of time last year, I think that it's been good to give him a foundation in Iowa. I'd say that.
I think if you listen between the lines, almost what the guy is saying is we want to set up his debut as him starting in Major League Baseball, not as him replacing Shota, and there might be. A lot of when is the game is in
New York. Yeah, they play the Mets.
Yeah, and you might not want to debut them in New York
maybe.
Against the Mets.
Council said addressed a similar topic, and he said he had not made a decision yet on Saturday.
Right.
So that kind of left the door open, and I do wonder if they're on the same page, because you could look at that being an organizational decision, wanting to be patient. And I could understand the manager wanting to get a guy that's looking
he's
as good as he's looking.
Pitch.
Ready to help the major league team.
Right.
Whether it's in New York or next week against the Marlins at home, you have an opportunity here over the next 2 to 4 weeks. Can I say that? Is that okay? Over the next 2 to 4 weeks, having a void in your rotation trying to fill
it. You're absolutely right. It sounded like he's definitely going to be out for 2 starts, and it sounded like maybe a third. And who knows? I agree with you. I don't think anyone is disagreeing about that. It'll be very interesting to see if they want to start him in New York or if they want to start him at home, if that matters to them at all, if it matters to the kid. I don't know.
I don't think it should matter in May. I don't think it should matter. You're going to be in a high leverage situation soon enough. And I do tend to think we look at this thing. Look, okay, Cade Horton, for example. He's a first round draft pick who was seventh overall.
Yes.
He's been in the spotlight before. You realize I know it's a different sport, and I know it's all kind of different circumstances. He's 3 months older than Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a newbie coming into a situation. He will be a rookie, but he's not like he's an immature young professional. He should be seasoned enough and mature enough to handle the moment, however big it seems, especially in May, whether it's in New York or at home against the Marlins. He should not be overwhelmed.
I'm not arguing that at all. I think I'm curious who's got more coin. I mean, you know, Caleb made $10 million before he showed up. That's pretty good.
Cade Horton? What was his bonus?
I'm asking. I think Cade's got more dough. What's Cade's record as a starter for the Bears? They didn't. That didn't work out as spectacularly.
Wrong Cade.
What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. What is Caleb Williams' record as starter?
I thought you were going back to your Cade days.
No.
All right. No. Caleb's starter with the record with the Bears as a starter, probably not equal to what Cade Horton is as a starting pitcher for Iowa Cubs.
It's all different, but I'm just having fun. What is it?
Cade Horton's signing bonus is $4.45 million.
Oh, man.
So he's not even in the same.
That's like a quarterly earnings for Caleb Williams.
He couldn't move into Caleb Williams' neighborhood.
But I think ideally he will be around the Chicago sports scene as long as Caleb Williams will be.
Oh, no question. And there are,
if things go according to plan,
there are hundreds of millions of dollars in his future.
One would hope.
One would think. Starting pitchers.
One would hope that's in Chicago.
That's a big coin. Yeah.
You think the Yankees are going to give Cade Horton that contract in 5 years?
If the Cubs won't, it's very possible.
let's hope that's a problem. Let's have him debut first.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you don't even have to debut that much. I mean, look at the contract Crochet got. He got paid really before he's proven.
Yeah, that's true. Garrett Crochet, that's an excellent point. Garrett Crochet, also a guy who, first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
His ascension to the majors was much quicker. Cade Horton was drafted 3 years ago. So it seems like he has been a prospect for a while. That's why I do think that, you know, Jed Hoyer's...
You're ready for him.
Jed Hoyer's patience level, and he did sound very patient.
Yes, he did.
Is commendable. I do wonder how those conversations go internally, because I wonder how much patience does exist in that building for waiting for Cade Horton to arrive. I mean, he looks pretty good.
He does, and you really could use him. I mean, look at the, you know, they've done well in terms of covering for the loss of Justin Steele, but we've always imagined that they've got to be aware that they're going to need an upgrade.
And right now, though, Jameson Taillon's the ace of your staff.
Yeah, Jameson Taillon's having a great year. He's having the kind of year that they gave him that contract.
How long does that last?
Well, I think it lasts this year. I think he's on the right track. He's having a great year. I don't think he's headed to any kind of disaster. I think I really enjoy the professionalism, the way he talks about it. He's a calming influence for
great mentor.
No question.
He's a terrific positive influence in that entire clubhouse, especially for young pitching staff. And I have all kinds of time for Jameson Taillon. I just think if you're the Cubs and you look at, you didn't really project this season to be in a situation where he is your ace.
But you never projected to be without both Steele and Shota at the same time, right?
Javier Assad.
And you know,
the thing is, when you projected this season, if you did such rotation. A thing, when they reported to Mesa, you expected Steele, you expected Shota, and you expected Assad to be in that rotation.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that you were looking at Colin Ray and Matthew Boyd. You thought you might be able to get cover for whatever could happen, but
did you really think
they'd be starting?
No, did you? Yeah. Matthew Boyd very good last night.
He was excellent. He
gave up that home run that was hit to the moon.
He gave up one bad homer. That was it.
You're entitled to that.
Yeah, it's all right.
If you're a lefty.
And the Cubs came right back, scored a couple more runs, and then they blew the whole thing up in the kick-around inning.
The opposing home run no longer feels like a demoralizing thing. It no longer feels like, yeah. Oh my gosh, they can't overcome this.
It felt like a fluke, frankly. And then because of the way they came back, and then the idea that the Giants, what was it in that inning? They had three walks and like two errors. Like, right, I mean, I don't know how you survive that in baseball when you're just giving up outs and letting people run the bases. They batted around in that inning.
They did. And that was what you're getting used to, actually.
Yeah.
So that becomes the norm, and they obviously
even Nicky Lopez walked, right? That was
a big walk, bases loaded. Yeah, it was a good at bat. It was a good at bat for Nicky Lopez. He had a good night.
He did.
I don't know that you feel any better or much better about the third base situation.
Well, you know, you feel he can cover that base. That's how you feel. He's not there for his bat. You don't feel when he gets a hit. It's almost a surprise. He got a nice hit.
Is he placeholder?
Like there was a really awkward moment there where JD and Alex were going back. I don't know what's going on with Boog. He wasn't there.
Not sure.
But that was like
I think he's ill. He's fallen ill.
He wanted a grand slam from Nicky.
Mm-hmm.
And you know
who wanted a grand slam from Nicky? I had Alex, the sound down. I was listening to the radio at times.
No, he like it was just weird. He was like, oh, I you know, and JD's like, well, I'd be on board with that. And then he says something like, well, he's got 7 career homers on 2,000 plate appearances. I mean, it was like the number. Like when he said it, I was like, what are you smoking? I mean, there was no way.
And that was JD's response.
JD's response.
It was similar.
He was like, yeah, okay, I'm on board. But then he kind of mentioned, well, he's had this handful of home runs over whatever 1,000 plate appearances he's had in Major League Baseball. Like, you cannot anticipate this is the guy to hit the grand slam.
So every fan, when Nicky Lopez goes to the plate with the bases loaded, probably thinks, boy, wouldn't be cool if he hit a grand slam.
No, I think you think,
but
boy, wouldn't it be great if he could walk? He's Nicky Lopez, for God's sake.
I know. I suppose that's what I would think, just get a hit.
Exactly. And it was just a strange exchange because he was hoping for the grand slam, but he was hoping for it from the wrong guy.
Why don't you listen to the score? Why don't you listen to Pat and Ron?
Because I was sitting on my couch and I was clicking back and
forth. Just ask it.
I was watching, tell you what I was watching. I was watching the Cubs, the White Sox, and the basketball.
The Met Gala?
And I had the Met Gala in my mind.
Yes, I know. We were there mentally.
Yeah.
We transported ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
There in spirit, if you will. I wore a tux on the couch.